If you like the Live Wild podcast and enjoy hunting-related apparel, I've got you covered. I just launched some great t-shirts, hats, and sweatshirts under my own Live Wild brand. You can find them now on my website, remywarren.com. I just want to say thanks again, everyone, for all the support, and I really hope you enjoy these designs as much as I do. Who knows? Maybe you'll head over to my website and find your next lucky hat. I'm Remy Warren, and I've lived my life in the wild. As a professional guide and hunter, I've spent thousands of days perfecting my craft. I want to give that knowledge to you. In this podcast, we relive some of my past adventures as I give you practical hunting tips to make you more successful. Whether you're just getting started or a lifelong hunter, this podcast will bring you along on the hunt and teach you how to live wild. This podcast is brought to you by Mountain Tough and Yeti. A lot of the tactics I talk about here require you to be in top physical shape, so I partnered with Mountain Tough to help get you ready for the mountain. With their science-based, hunter-specific training app, you'll get in shape and mentally tough, able to tackle any hunt. Because we really believe this will help you be more successful, as a listener to this podcast, we're giving you 6 free weeks to get you started. Just use code LIVEWILD. Hey, Live Wild listeners, I just wanted to let you know that I've got some awesome new designs on my Live Wild apparel, including a really cool elk graphic that's on some Yeti Yonder bottles, hats, and t-shirts. We've also got some other new stuff dropping as well, so if you're interested, go check it out at my website, remywarren.com, and just thank you guys so much for all the support. Welcome back to Live Wild Podcast. So today we're going to be diving into part 2 of this spring bear breakdown. Last week we looked at tactics for hunting following a warm and mild winter. Today's episode, I'm calling it gas, grass, and glass, or the 3 G's of spring bears. We're going to dissect each one of those and look at ways to find success in lower elevation or heavily timbered country this spring. But before we do that, I want to share a funny story of my dad about a bear, a missing gun, and bees. I really just want to share this story because it's funny. It's one of those hunting stories. Like, if you know my dad, you would say this lines up well. But anyways, I'm not sure if I've even shared this story before, but it's definitely one that needs to be told. So a few years ago, while I was guiding, I had... My mom did a lot of the cooking for my outfitting business, and she would come up and give us a hand when the clients would come in or whatever. So we had some clients coming in for a hunt. It was a full camp, and they come in, let's say it's a Sunday night, and then kind of start hunting the next day. So generally she has somebody give her a hand, maybe it's one of my brothers or whatever, and She needed a little bit of help just kind of getting set up and getting going for the first night. Because I think whoever was, maybe we had like one of our packers helping, but he couldn't. So my mom had my dad come up to give her a hand. So he's like, all right. So he flies up to give her a hand doing some of the cooking stuff. Well, of course, just like anybody, right? If it's a hunting season and you've got a tag and you're in a place where you can use your tag, you might as well maybe look around a little bit, right? So my dad's like, he has a spring bear tag. The hunters aren't in yet. So he's just going to go, or he's got a bear tag and the hunters aren't in yet. And he's just going to go take a look around. So he didn't, because he was just planning on helping my mom, he didn't even have really his hunting stuff with him. So he's like, hey, I don't have, I influenced him a little bit. I was like, you should go look for a bear. He's like, oh, I don't even have a gun. So I had a 6.5 Creedmoor that I wasn't using. It was like a brand new rifle. And I said, here, take this gun. But I also said, I was like, it doesn't have a sling or anything, so you're going to have to strap it to your pack. My dad kind of can be in sometimes a little forgetful or whatever. So I was like, without the sling, just don't set it down and like leave it, you know, be careful with the gun. It's a brand new rifle. Like, don't mess it up, right? Like, and also, I don't think I didn't have the zero stops in it yet because I just got it all dialed in. So I was like, okay, you know, I had all these rules for him in a way. Like, I was like, okay, use this, do this, whatever. You know, so he's going to take it again. And I also had a new e-bike. I had one of those Baku e-bikes and a cart that I didn't put together yet. So I'd been using the e-bike for scouting and spring bear hunting. And then I think there was a cart or something. So he decided, he's like, I'm going to put the cart together for you in case you guys need it. And then I'm probably going to take it out and go hunting. So I was gone. I think I was scouting. And he decided he was going to go out, take the e-bike to a logging road, go look for a bear in a big burn. And he's got the e-bike and he's ripping up a logging road and he's got the cart on there. He's got his pack strapped to the back, I guess, in the cart, and the rifle strapped to the pack. So he's going up, he gets to a spot and he spots a bear. And the bear is like walking up this creek bottom and it's a ways up there. So he grabs his pack, he like works up the old logging road, pops out, he watches the bear go into this thick patch of timber, but he can kind of see around. So he feels like the bear's in this patch of trees. And so he gets set up. He's like 350 yards away. Gets the pack set up and he's just like waiting for the bear to hopefully pop back out. So probably walked in, bedded, and he's hoping like, okay, he's going to feed back out. Or if he goes through, I should be able to see him. Like, he could, there are ways that he could get out, but he, you know, is set up waiting on this bear. So he's sitting there, and this is like midday, mid-morning, something like that. He came up, remember, he came up to help my mom at the lodge. And so he's set up there, and he's like, it's just eating at him. Like, I think he maybe even had some service. I was like, where are you? When are you coming back? You know me back. Right. And he's thinking like he's getting a little convicted. So he's like, okay, I came up here to help, to do a job. You know, this isn't good. He's like, I wouldn't normally walk away from a good bear. But he's like, if I just stay here forever, I was like, I got to get out of here. I should just get back and help and I can go bear hunting another day. So he decides he goes back, loads up on the cart, goes back down the mountain. He's like, walks away from a bear that he could have just waited on and probably killed. And so he gets down and realizes, and this is like a pretty steep logging road country, goes to grab my gun. And not only is the gun missing, but he must have not connected the cart right. And the cart, gun, and pack are all gone. He got to the bottom and did not realize that somewhere the cart came off. And now just like the scenarios are running through his head. He's like thinking that it probably just went off the edge of a logging road and is 1,000 feet in the bottom of a canyon. So he was coming back in good time. You know, he gave himself plenty of time when he left. He would have been completely fine. Now he's got to go back and find the gun and cart. So he goes back up, luckily he said it fell off not that far from the bottom. And it just like stopped on the edge. So no harm, no foul. But he did get back to the truck thinking that my gun was gone forever. Brand new gun. And so he goes back up, hooks the cart back up, you know, drives back down. I don't even know how a cart would unhook, but it happened. So he goes back down and he's now at this point where it's like, he's still got plenty of time. Everything's looking good. Well, on a hillside, very close to where he can get to, a bear pops out. And he's like, oh, this is just a sign from God. Here's a bear for me, right? Even though he knows, he's like, okay, I could shoot this bear. I could just carry it back. I'll still have time to help. Like, I can't pass up this opportunity. So he gets the gun, shoots the bear, drops the bear, rolls down the hill to the bottom, like creek bottom. And perfect, right? Everything is going, like, he walked away from a bear to be rewarded with a bear near the truck, super easy pack out. Everything's going to go great. So he goes over to get the bear, crosses a creek, gets to the bear, grabs the bear as he pulls the bear over to just move it from where it rolled. All of a sudden, he's swarmed by, I guess, bees or wasps. Like, I don't know which. The bear had died on a nest in the ground or whatever. And now they are just hammering him. And my dad is allergic to both bees and wasps. I think they were yellow jackets, but he's allergic to them. So now he's like in panic mode. So he has, I think he had, he didn't even have his, like he has an EpiPen in his pack. So he goes back to his pack. He calls his buddy who's there and he's like, I need someone to drive me to the hospital. So he gets him, they drive to the hospital and needless to say, he, no good deed goes unpunished. He missed helping out for dinner. Luckily, I was able to, I think I came back and was able to jump in for a little bit of it. It went from leaving with good intentions to seeing a bear, to shooting a bear, to getting stung multiple times, to having to go to the hospital to get, you know, checked out. Another, I think they did like the, he might have even just had the EpiPen ready to go and they gave him definitely another booster of whatever. And then missing helping out for dinner. So just a funny bear story. I ended up helping him pack the bear out. And yeah, it all worked out in the end. But man, it was a comical situation. And so he got the bear full body mounted and he's got it like on a log swatting at a hornet, like a paper wasp hornet's nest, which is, it's pretty cool. It turned out, but funny story, the bears, the bees, and the missing gun. I hope you guys enjoyed that story. I know it's just one that I probably should have just had my dad come on and tell it, but it's a pretty funny story. I mean, the chance of all those things happening, very slim to none. And if you know my dad, you know that that kind of story is right up his alley. Like, that's just the kind of things that happen sometimes. But I love that. I love that hunting story. And, you know, this week, I think when I was thinking about spring bears, you know, we talk a lot about when it comes to spot and stalk hunting, you know, getting in those big, big basins early, going up into some of those big backcountry canyons. But then you look at, like, a majority of good bear country, and it can be pretty dispersed into even high elevation or, you know, most of the mountain fairly thick timbered or combination of timber open type country, logging road country is what I'd call it. And that's really good. I'd say probably in a lot of places I've shot the majority of my bears in logging road country or majority of my big boars in logging road country, maybe because it's a little bit later in the season. So I figured this, we talk about what I like to think of as the three G's when it comes to hunting that thicker country: gas, grass, and glass. If I say that too many times, I'll probably mess it up and say something I'm not supposed to say. But we are going to first, what I mean by that, we're going to talk into number one, gas. So in this logging road country, I'm not necessarily talking about driving, but in some ways I am. I'm talking about moving and covering country. And that is in a multitude of different ways. So it can be physical gas in your truck, but it can also be like mountain fuel, right? It could be like pedaling, it could be riding, it could be walking. It's just covering country. And I'm not even necessarily saying hunting from a vehicle, like many places that's not even legal, but what I am looking for, my primary focus on moving and covering country is I'm looking for a good place to hunt. And what I mean by that is during the springtime, bears can be dispersed. However, the things that they need in this timber country might not be in good supply everywhere. So as the season changes, food sources is what we're looking for, and we're going to talk about that in grass. But we're going to move and we're going to cover country looking for a place of like, this is a higher percentage opportunity for where bears are going to be. And so we do that in a lot of ways. Oftentimes, you know, I'll take a vehicle on a main logging road and then I will park that vehicle on what I would consider like a gated logging road or an overgrown logging road. Because this is those old roads, like this is places where you can ride potential e-bikes, you can ride bicycles, you can hike. And we're covering the country looking for sign. Suitable country, if it's later in the season, fawning and calving areas, places to walk into if it's a new area that you haven't hunted. A lot of those gated roads where it's like, okay, this is away from where people are traveling, but oh, look, this road's 12 miles long. I could walk it in and out fairly easily. I could be quiet. It's going to open up some opportunity for places. Or I might go to a different country and say, like, oh, look at these south-facing slopes have that right food source. I'm looking for those places to hunt. I'm also really looking for sign. Like I said last week, I've been into places where it's like fawning areas and multiple dead fawns or calves chewed up by bears. I'm looking for that. I'm looking for bear sign on and off roads, or like, oh, here's a grassy patch that I can stop and check out. Oh, here's a good opening that I can glass. I'm looking for that good country, and I'm covering a lot of country to find it. The majority of the bears that I kill are in like similar type countries, certain types of the year. And you don't really necessarily know what it is until you find it, right? You're like, ooh, this all looks okay. And then there's places that look really good. So I'm going to go, some years there's, depending on the snow, oh, there's still snow on the south face of this entire mountain. Not great. So I'm going to move around and go to the north face and go, oh, okay, here's a good spot. Oh, here's a wet spot where it's got good food and forage. Okay, I can start marking these places off and then start hunting and finding. I'm essentially hunting for a place to hunt when I'm moving. I'm looking for where's good, suitable bear habitat for right now. Where's the snow line? Where's the grass growing? What time of year is it? Where's a bunch of elk? Where's a bunch of deer? Where I'm literally scouting for places of like, this is bear country. Now I can hone in and start hunting the bears. Because when you're hunting bears, you need to be very specific and intentional on the places that you're spending your time. There's places that I'll find where I go, okay, there's bear sign. It had like all the signs that I needed of the 3 G's. And then I'm like, okay, now I'm going to really sit here and I'm going to watch this hillside all day, right? But you can't commit to that hillside until you've seen what else is around. So moving. Also, like I said, e-bikes, bicycles. I've got one of those Baku e-bikes. And I mean, it's awesome for cruising logging roads, even ones that you could drive in a vehicle. Quiet, silent, where you can pay more attention, where you're actually a lot more apt to see sign and other things that way. And then I hit a spot where it's like, okay, I take the e-bike to a spot. A lot of the hunts that I get on, it's like I drive to a spot where it's a gated logging road or whatever. It's illegal to drive. You could drive a four-wheeler on it, or even just maybe a rougher logging road that you wouldn't want to take your truck down. And then I'll pop the e-bike out of the truck. That's why I like the e-bike, because it's like, you can have it in the back of your truck. You don't need a trailer, because a lot of times in springtime, you might run, especially early, you run into snow and you're like, I can't turn a trailer around. I can't take a trailer down this. So I got the e-bike in the back. I jump out, hit the e-bike on that road, and I'll go 5, 6, 7 miles. And oh, here's another offshoot of another, or an opening or whatever. Okay, I'm going to walk through this. And now I'm walking, I'm looking for sign, and I'm just using gas, right? I'm just moving, covering country until I find bear signs, suitable bear habitat, maybe the certain things I'm looking for. I'm like, ooh, here's a big grassy ridge that's chock full of elk. Let me check the wet spots around it and the ridge itself. Oh, here's some bear crap. Here's some bear crap on this road that, you know, you couldn't even drive down, but oh, they're clearly eating the grass off of this. Okay, now I've got bear sign. Now I understand where to hunt. I found my place to hunt. Now I'm going to hone in. But in order to find that, I'm going to cover a lot of country. And I do that a lot in the spring when I'm hunting that logging timbered country, whether it's on foot, in a vehicle, a combination of e-bike, whatever. I'm just like covering country till I find that spot where I really want to hunt. And I go, okay, if I see a spot that looks good, and okay, I'll check it out. I'll look for sign. I'll look for other things. And then when I've narrowed down where the bears might be, then I can slow down. But in order to get there, I put in the gas. I move, I cover country, because a lot of places it's like you can cover country with your eyes. In this kind of country, you got to cover it physically. And the more you can cover, the better. However you cover it, right? I mean, the majority of it I'm covering, you know, on places where people can't really drive for the most part, because, you know, I'm accessing. It's like this, hit this gated logging road, walk it. Go to the next one, walk it. Go to the next one, walk it. They're super easy to walk. I mean, most of the time I'm wearing like trail runners. I've got a light pack on if I'm not on my bike. And I'm literally just moving and cruising. I can walk pretty fast and I'm going and just covering that country. So now G number two, grass. I'm covering that country and I'm primarily looking for food would be one of the things. So I'm looking for a preferred food source. What happens in these logging roads is in timber country, The trees block a lot of that early growth because the sunlight can't get to it. When there's logged country where it's a clear cut, where the roads have been cut away, it allows the sun to access the ground. And on the fringes, you get really good new growth, primarily species that are very delicious and high in nutrients and maybe not found other places in the forest because they've, who knows, spread originally from tires and the process of whatever. Dandelions is a big one. Bears love them some dandelions, and I eat them as well. They're pretty good, right? It's not a bad snack. And in the springtime, there's these places where you see, like, okay, it hasn't been driven on in years. The sun can access it. It's on a, you know, south orientation, maybe a east-west running road, whatever. And you've got, the sun can just hit it, and all of a sudden you got all this new grass, all this dandelion growth, other plants that are highly favored by black bears. And you essentially created a little food plot in a massive amount of timber. So it actually narrows down the places that the bears would potentially be, and they're on these essentially logging roads. So I cover these, like, that's the trouble. If you're driving, man, the bear's gone before you can ever know that they were there. That's why I like to utilize the e-bike and hiking, because when I found these spots, it's like, boom, we've got the grass. This is where I'm going to hunt. And I'll walk these logging roads in those, like, here's a 2 mile stretch that has this grass. It's got some good terrain. It's got a little bit of everything. I'll walk those in the mornings and evenings. I'll check them for sign. Like, maybe there's mostly bear droppings within the road or on the road. And I go, okay, I now have found where the bears are. Now I can effectively hunt this. Other places that are highly favored is like clearings, places, maybe it's a clear cut. Maybe there's just a natural meadow on a south-facing ridge that you can access or glass from somewhere. Burns are another big one where it's like, okay, it's opened up, it's all timbered. Now here's a big burn. We're going to get grass in there. We're looking for that primary spring food source, and the original food source is going to be grass. It's or new growth. And then we're looking for, you know, other places where there's just food in places where there might not be a lot of food. So we're trying to narrow down, okay, here's the places where I might catch a bear. So as I'm moving, spending the gas, putting on the miles, I'm looking for the grass. I'm looking for food sources, and I'm marking those. I'm inspecting them for sign. I'm maybe even checking them multiple times. So I've got one kind of circuit that I like to do, and I drive to one logging road. I walk it a mile and a half. I walk back because that's like the best generally for the certain direction of the mountains. Like, this is a good one. And I got another one 4 or 5 miles away from there that I've identified, and I walk that one. And okay, now I've got droppings on this road. They're clearly here. Once I figure out, okay, bears are using this one, then I turn it into a hunt mode where I go, okay, am I going to just kind of continually still hunt this? Am I going to set up where I think the bears are coming out? Can I get away from this like grassy area? Maybe it's a south-facing slope on a ridge. Is there somewhere where I can get back and glass this and the surroundings mornings and evenings or midday? Is it a big burn where I go, ooh, this looks good, so I'm going to just spend my time glassing this big burn and really focus in? And so I'm using the gas to locate the grass, and the grass is going to help me build out my hunt plan for the trip. Now we're going to jump into glass. And this is, once we've found, we've moved, we got the places that we like, we found some sign, or maybe we haven't found sign, but we go, ooh, this is like a really good looking spot for bears. It's got everything we need. Now we got a glass. We got to put in the time looking. So I'm going to also, moving around, finding good glassing vantages, places that, you know, it could be timber, but here's a good glassing vantage of this particular clear cut. Here's a good glassing vantage of this. Oh, if I go a mile on this other road, I can look back into this clear cut that I like walked through or rode through. And when it comes to spring bear hunting, whether it's in that timbered country or not, glass is the most important aspect for finding spring bears. You have to be still. You have to scan. You have to sit. You have to wait. You're going to put a lot of time in seeing nothing, and then a bear is going to appear. That doesn't matter if you're in timbered country or open country. So when I'm walking through these timbered spots, I'm moving very slow and quiet. I'm throwing up my binos and I'm just scrolling that focus or rolling that focus so I can go racking from close to far, close to far. Because most of the bears I catch, every once in a while I've caught, I'd say if there's a bear on a logging road, then I'm probably, they're generally the ones that I spook because like they're level with you, whatever. It's the ones that are behind, like off before they've popped out onto it, or that like fringe country of that still gets a lot of sun. If a road's been cut in, the trees on one side are stepped down, especially on more steep terrain. So trees on one side are stepped down, grass and sun and everything's growing in the timber up above or below. And so that's often where I catch the bears, and I'm just using it by like still hunting, glassing, glassing, glassing. I'm walking, glassing, walking, glassing, walking, glassing all day. There's more time you're going to have the binos to your face and not see anything than see something. But there's those times where it's like, oh, that is definitely the leg of a bear. Hunt on, game on. And then just having it to, you know, verify that it's a boar and not a sow or no cubs. You know, it takes a lot of time. But there's even outside of that, if we've hiked into the backcountry, we're looking over a big burn. I mean, it's hard to quantify the amount of time I've spent sitting looking for bears and the time that I've spent seeing bears. I would say 1% of the time I'm seeing bears, 99% of the time I'm looking for bears. And that's bear hunting. You're doing a lot of glassing. The more time you can put in glassing, the more successful you're going to be. You have to be patient. You have to look close. In that timber pocket country too, there's those like cross canyon glassing where I'm in the timber, but maybe it's been thinned. Maybe it's growing back. Maybe it's whatever. You've got like a logging road that cuts across the hillside and then comes back on the other hillside. So as I round one corner, I can glass ahead in the country that I'm looking. And a lot of times, I mean, if it's within 500 yards, I might even pull out the tripod. I might, you know, pull out the spotting scope and just scan, grid, pick it apart, try to find something before it finds me. A lot of times I'm looking for something moving, but many times I'm just, you know, continually glassing and being patient. And then if I come around another corner and, oh, here's a burn that I can see, here's a meadow that I can see off in the distance or multiple potential feeding areas, then I'm going to sit down at those glassing vantages, scan, wait, and watch. It's a lot of watching. It really is. But you, it's funny because if that country, the way that I describe it to people is often, especially when you're in more timbered country, you can see probably 1 to 10% of the ground cover. There's 90% that you can't see. So if you're watching a hillside that has, especially if you've seen sign and it's got everything or just has what you're looking for out of all the places you've looked, this spot has the most potential for bear. You go, okay, I'm committing to this. And there's a lot of places that a bear could be on there that you will not see them. So you have to sit there and intersect your looking with their timing. And that's the patience part. That's the part about spring bear hunting I don't like. Like if you're good at sitting in a stand all day, spring bear hunting is right up your alley because you can look at more often. But there's a major patience portion involved with it that I think sometimes gets understated when like, oh, I watched this spring bear hunting video and it just looked like gangbusters, right? Well, you see the five bear encounters for the week and it looks like a lot when you're really, realistically, it's like long days and two of those encounters were in one day and two were in another and you got one on another day. So you had a couple days where you didn't even see anything, but you sat there looking all day. And that's just the reality of it in a lot of places. Some places there's higher densities of bears, but I generally don't find those places or don't hunt those places. So there's a lot of time looking, whether it's in thick country using your optics, whether it's in a place where you've got a good glassing vantage, sitting, scanning, watching. And one place that I hunted, it was like an old logging road where the road had essentially ended. And I'm talking like old enough where you almost wouldn't even know that it was logged except for there's no trees there. Made like a little meadow. There's kind of like a little creek that I'd say like the road had ended, maybe a turnaround spot back in the day. Water had seeped in, made this really green, bright spot, and there was always continually fresh bear sign there. So it was like, it was thick enough where I could just back out and sit there and wait, essentially use it like a food plot because I knew that the bear was coming in there. One tactic that I've talked about before is if I see sign, I'll drop a pin on my maps. I'll mark where it was and the time that I saw it and then remove it from the area. So if I see other sign in there within the time that I was there and came back, then I know, okay, well, the bear came out at this time. I try to do it mostly in a good spot in the evenings and then check back in the morning. So I move in and go, okay, he was here at night. Now, if I don't see that and then I leave and I come back that evening and I go, oh, there was some sign. He's definitely hitting it within the daylight, and try to narrow it down to the times that that bear might be coming out and feeding in that particular spot. Bears can be semi-predictable in a way. There's certain bears that get on food sources and it's like, that's their food source. And until it's gone, they're going to just feed and live there. So, you know, back up, sit down and watch an area close by, but I'm not just watching it with my naked eye. I'm also scanning the brush, scanning the grass. Like in places where there's tall grass, it can completely obscure a bear. I'm so surprised sometimes when I've been set up, and there's a place in Alaska that I did this and I was like set up, and the bear, I mean, I saw the bear come in, I saw him at probably 40 yards, and I would have never seen him if I wasn't looking through my binos. And you think, like, how is that even possible? But then I was able to be ready, be quiet. I knew that bear was coming, and when I got my opportunity, I was able to shoot the bear. Probably one of my biggest bears I've ever killed. You know, I mean, maybe, yeah, I could have waited and seen him just surprise me, but, you know, sometimes that, you aren't ready. It's like, oh, bear, surprise, move, throw the gun up, shoot. No, I was able to get a shot at a good position because I knew that he was coming, and it was because I seen him, like seen a piece of him using my binoculars in that thicker country where it would have definitely obscured the bear to what would be my naked eye. I hope you guys enjoyed that podcast. If you're headed out to chase spring bears, I think that just thinking about some of the things that they're going after will help you narrow down your focus a little bit on the places to look. Don't get frustrated if it's your first time. It can be long times in between finding bears, but when you do, I think that that's what makes it so exciting, so fun, such an awesome pursuit. You can hunt in a variety of terrains from coastal Alaska to the mountains of Montana. There's a lot of variation in spring bear country and terrain. But a lot of the main tenets of it are true, is find the food, find the bears. You sometimes have to cover a lot of country, and sometimes you just kind of get into a spot where it's like, this is where the bears are now. And just by putting that time in the glass, getting in, thinking about covering country, finding that grass, getting in the glass, I think that you're going to be highly successful. One of the companies that awesome supporter of this podcast, Stone Glacier, not only do they make incredible gear, in my opinion, but they also make some pretty awesome films and videos. I don't know. During this time of year, it's like anytime some kind of season goes on, I like to find some videos that align with pumping me up, or maybe you aren't even spring bear hunting this year, but they had one just released last month, a Southeast Alaska bear hunt. It's called Ursa Day. If you aren't subscribed to their YouTube channel, I think you guys should, because it's honestly, I don't know, it's one of my favorite, I think, channels for just awesome big game content. Like, they do a really good job with them. I had a lot of fun watching this one. It got me real fired up for the springtime. So that's a good one. If you guys haven't seen it, you should check it out. That's just a little shout out to some of the stuff that I like to watch. It's like kind of my, I'm like, all right, this time of year, maybe it's, this one kind of bites me though, because I had a hunt plan in Southeast Alaska, and it was, of course, I drew the tag for that particular hunt, the one that I was planning, and my son was like due essentially right when we planned that, right when that hunt was. But for me, I try to have our kids in the winter time or summertime because there's fewer seasons, but when you kind of hunt everywhere, or is actually, sorry, my daughter was being born then. First kid, man, you don't want to miss that. So I was unable to go on that hunt, not with these guys, but watching that film reminded me of like, okay, I got to do that hunt at some point. Super cool. Boat-based hunt was theirs. It just looks awesome. And then, you know, I mean, for a good all-around pack, the Solo 3900, great running gun for that like lightweight day hunting, cruising, covering country. Pretty good option. So you can check that out. As always, you can use code LIVEWILD, get free shipping on anything from Stone Glacier. Also on my website, I've got some links to a couple pages of theirs. It just shows some of my favorite gear. So if you ever have any questions about that stuff. And honestly, they're really good about answering questions of like, okay, which pack should I get? I've got my favorites. Maybe what you do, you need something different. So there's always those options. But until next week, I'm just going to say, what are we going to say? bear with me. What did I say last week? Bear down, bear with me this week. That's very good. Catch you guys later.